Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, please. December 25th. That date is not what we should celebrate on December 25th is important. Christmas is joyous, it's fun for families, friends, getting together, sharing, giving. Those things are enjoyable. But we can't let that take the place of the real meaning of Christmas. Christ came, was born, lived a perfect life, died, and rose from the dead so that we can have life. That's the Christmas story. God had a plan. The verse we're going to read tells us that. He had a plan for the redemption of mankind. And it began with a single event. The virgin birth of Christ. God planned for Christ to come. He set a time when it would be the best time, the right time for Christ to come. And then it happened. In fact, more than 2,000 years ago, Christ was born in Bethlehem, lived for 33 years sinlessly, healed the sick, raised the dead, fed thousands, went to a cross, was condemned unlawfully, died on the cross, shed all his blood. That's the story of Christmas. So in our text, the Bible says, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, it's an interesting statement. It means having all things in order to fill up. So when all things were in order and the time for Christ to come was fully realized, he didn't come until that time.
The slide. Down just a little bit.
When the fullness of time was come, the verse says, God sent forth his son.
Now maybe up just a hair.
Made of a woman, made under the law. That he might redeem them that are under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. This is an incredible story. In order for us to see it, I think in its fullest picture, there are four statements made that will help us form a proper picture. Amen? There's the preparation that's stated. When the fullness of time had come. Now that statement admits at least two things. Number one, that there was an exact time for Christ to come. And number two, it admits This statement admits of a previous preparation before the plan could happen. In other words, God had a plan, and there was a great deal of copious preparation for the coming of Christ. From the beginning of time through history, the nation of Israel, the giving of the law, prophetic statements picturing the Messiah that was to come, global preparation. In fact, all the way down the tunnel of time to 4 BC. When the proper time for Christ to come could be fully realized, and he came. The Jews with their law, their monotheism, Old Testament prophecies, were waiting, in fact, were wanting, longing for the Messiah to come. Their hearts were being prepared. The Greek culture had spread across the Roman world. Their language was spoken in every province. Now, this is important. Because without that, the message that was coming could not be spreadable. So God allowed the Greek language to be spread across the Roman Empire. Every province spoke Greek, and thereby the Greek language could be carried to others. And the gospel in the Greek could be presented to the masses. So the Greek culture and the Greek language is essential. The Roman Empire itself was a world power. They were prolific builders of roads. Now, the original reason for the roads was to give their armies, their legions of soldiers, better passage, to get to a war or to an uprising quickly. But they became the way to travel so that across the Roman Empire, you could travel from place to place to place to place on a road system that was really passable. And then there was peace. For the first time in years, there was peace in the Roman Empire. The gates of the Temple of Janus were shut. And that may mean nothing to you, but Janus was a two-faced god, looking to the future, looking back to the past. And it was thought that he had the power to declare war. So if they shut the gate, there would be no war. Peace would reign. So the gates were shut. In 27 BC, by Octavius Caesar. Now this is important because Octavius was the adopted grandson or great-grandson of Julius Caesar. After he died, there was a great revolt in Rome, led by Brutus. Mark Antony and Octavius defeated Brutus in a very difficult war, but the defeat was great, and they became the leaders of Rome. Now, that was all right, except Antony wanted Octavian's power. So he revolted. Octavian gathered his troops, put down that revolt. Mark Antony fled to Alexandria with his girlfriend, Cleopatra. They were surrounded by Octavian's forces. And rather than surrender, they both took their lives. 1 year later, 27 BC, Octavian had the gates shut. And so great was his conquest that the senators in Rome changed his name to Augustus, the regal one, the greatest one. In fact, they gave him a second name, first citizen of Rome. First in place, first in prominence, first in power. So this Octavian, an adopted son, became Caesar Augustus of Rome, who ordered the gates of Janus closed in 27 BC. 23 years later, under his rule, under Caesar Augustus' rule, Christ was born in Bethlehem. That was all preparatory for the birth of Christ. It's incredible. All these things happened by God's moving hand that guided and directed all of this through his providence, so that all these things could come together and Christ could be born. What a preparation. Unbelievable. Well, this verse does not only tell us that there was an exact time for Christ to be born, a preparation for that time, but the Bible tells us that there's a person that's important to this plan. It says in our verse, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. From heaven on high, Christ passed down through God's universe and landed on earth and was born of a virgin. A condescension of unbelievable passing. He became a man for us. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, the humanity of Christ. Unto us a son is given, the deity of Christ. He was born as a man, humanity. He came as God, a son of God, deity. That Jesus pre-existed is guaranteed in this verse. It says of him, he was made of a woman. I was reading a commentator, and he said, a boy asked him, isn't that kind of redundant to say made of a woman? Isn't every man made of a woman? Isn't every man born of a woman? Isn't that true? Well, that's not what this means. When it says made of a woman, it means this, that God Almighty sent his son to earth to be born in a virgin involved in this conception and birth of Christ. None. He had no human father, so he could be, it could be said of him, he was only born of a woman. Without the agency of a human father, not by man and woman, not by husband and wife, made of a woman. And because of that, he did not inherit Adam's sin nature. The Bible said that he was without sin, that he knew no sin, that it was holy, undefined, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. He was without sin. Says here of him that he was made under the law. Literally, that he was born in a situation, a Jewish birth, that put him under the requirements of the law. In fact, he not only was under the law by birth, he lived under the law by example. And he kept all the law so that he could fulfill all righteousness, all God's people said. This is an incredible story. These simple words that Paul used to describe this incredible event are so important. Great truth and great evidence fall on these words. Colossians 2:14 says of this righteous one that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which were against us. They were contrary to us. In fact, it says he took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross. All God's people said. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. What's the purpose for all this? The rest of the verse says, to redeem them that were under the law. All God's people. Do you understand what the law does? The law condemns you. You can't keep the law. And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments, although you can't keep the Ten Commandments. You ever lied? You broke the Ten Commandments. You ever cheated? Broke the Ten Commandments. Ever coveted something that was not yours that someone else had or you wanted? Broke the Ten Commandments. Worship other gods? Oh, I've never done that. Well, I don't know. You in church on Sunday to worship God? What do you do on Sunday? You find something else to replace it. You're an idolater. You're condemned. Not to mention there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other laws ceremonially that you could not possibly keep. It's impossible. So we needed some help. We needed a redeemer. And God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, the Bible says, he condemned sin in the flesh. He died for you. God put him on the cross and took all your sin, every sin you ever committed, every sin you ever will commit. Think of all the filthy, rotten things that people have done in this world, sinning. And God took all that sin and laid it on Christ and charged it to his account. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christmas began in a manger, but it ended in a cross. The Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Unbelievable. The purpose of the plan. There's one last thing. What's the promise? Is there a promise? Look at verse 5. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption, the right to full sonship. You may not know this, but adoption was not really a Christian word. It's a Roman word. A Roman term. And it was a Roman practice. Julius Caesar adopted Octavian. If a Roman citizen decided to adopt a young person, let's say a young man, he went to the courts, applied for an adoption, and then gave either a written document or a mark, often a signet ring, to that young man. And by putting that on his finger, he was declared the very son of that Roman citizen. So when Paul wrote this word adoption here in Galatians, who were Roman citizens, they knew what he meant. Because once that young man was adopted, at that point, any debt he may have had was erased. Let me say this again. Any debt that he had was erased. Number two, any crime he may have committed or was accused of was pardoned. And then he received a new name, a new life, a new home, a new father, and a new family. You see why Paul used the word adoption? They knew exactly what that meant. When you were saved, you were adopted into God's family. Any debt was canceled by the blood of Christ. Any crime was pardoned by the blood of Christ. And you received a new name, a new life, a new home, and a new family. That we might receive the adoption of sons. What an incredible text. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. If you've received Christ, you're adopted. You have all of the rights and privileges of the Son of God, of all inheritance. And Paul says you'd be filled with joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's a real Christmas story. Lord, help us to love you, serve you. Thank you for your goodness, your willingness to come, be born here, live here, die here. And you did not stay dead. You rose from the grave. Father, you are back with God in heaven. Thank you for what you did in heaven. Amen.